Hello, my name's Fran Rice and I'm a professor at Cardiff University, and I've been asked to talk about some of the practical implications of surveying pupil mental health for schools. So I suppose the first thing to say is, from surveys of this kind where young people report on their current symptoms of some strengths and difficulties with mental health, is that the vast majority of students are doing well in terms of their mental health and aren't showing over difficulties in this area. It's also true to say that a minority of students, so around about 1 in 8, will show difficulties and have some ongoing current symptoms or elevated symptoms of difficulties in a particular domain. So for instance, they might have symptoms of feeling anxious. And it's also true that students who have difficulties in one particular area often have another difficulty in another domain. So we call this comorbidity, and it's very common. So young people, for instance, may have difficulties with their emotions and feeling anxious, for instance, but they may also have difficulties in paying attention and show some signs and symptoms of hyperactivity. So they tend to go together in the same individuals. So research has shown that teachers and other sort of observers who know young people well are really pretty good at identifying students who have got, are showing difficulties with conduct problems or with hyperactivity and inattention. And they're very adept at identifying those students who have those types of difficulties. What's more difficult for teachers and other sort of observers to detect in young people are difficulties with emotional problems. So these are often quite hard to spot for others, particularly in the absence of other difficulties. And so these can tend to be missed because they're quite hard for others to spot. And this is the value really of asking young people to report on their current symptoms, because it gives you that sort of internal, if you like, spotlight into what's going on in a young person's mind at that moment in time. So what can schools and people who work in schools do to support pupil mental health? Well, I suppose the first thing I say is that where young people do have some symptoms of having difficulties with their well-being or mental health, it's really just, is don't panic. It's really common for young people to have some challenges and to experience some difficulties with their mental health at some stage of their development, perhaps particularly during adolescence, because this is a period during which symptoms of emotional difficulties, so anxiety, low mood and depression, and also of some sort of conduct difficulties can emerge. And these have really complex sets of causes, so multifactorial causes coming from many different sort of elements. Some will be biological and certain children will be born with particular propensities, and other causes may be more to do with the context of young people's lives and the things that are happening in their lives currently. So another thing to bear in mind is that some young people's difficulties can resolve spontaneously given time. So some elevated symptoms of mental health difficulties can be time limited, and if you like, be partly driven by ongoing current circumstances or challenges that might be happening in young people's lives. So things like anxiety, depression and low mood, conduct problems, particularly around adolescents, it's not unusual to sort of have one-off episodes of elevated symptoms. But for others, mental health sort of difficulties will require additional help and support. And there are various different routes and ways of providing this, and clearly that they'll differ slightly depending on the type of problem and also on the severity of the difficulty. So what can schools and school staff do to help support pupil mental health? So simple things can be really helpful. And there are many things that can be done that you don't need to be a mental health expert to be able to do. So, and one of these is really thinking about how every contact with a young person counts. And I would say that you can't really underestimate the value of taking time to ask a young person how they are, listening to them in a sort of non-judgmental way, and being there to support them. So this is something that medics called watchful waiting. So, and certainly for things like clinical depression in young people, that's actually quite an effective way of treating mild depression in young people, where a clinician will assess and monitor a young person over time. So I wouldn't underestimate the value of this. As you'll probably know, the vast majority of young people who meet criteria for having an overt mental health disorder that causes functional impairment in their daily life, so means that they can't go about their normal activities. The vast majority of these affected young people don't seek help for their problems, but those that do most often seek it from teachers. And surveys show that young people really value this, the help and support that they receive from teachers. So I wouldn't underestimate the value of this, but clearly it takes time and it needs to be sort of planned for, particularly as part of people's sort of workloads and workload allocations. The other ways that school and school staff can support mental health is really around sort of promoting a particular culture and an environment which supports and values pro-social behaviour and principles. So an environment where people help each other, where they support each other, and this can have very beneficial effects for young people's mental health. And it's also, makes it a nice place to be and a nice place to work in. So there's two very large scale, high quality randomized controlled trials that provide evidence to support this. So one based in India and one based in English secondary schools. And they show really that activities around promoting a participative environment for young people, so involving young people in decision making about what happens in their class and in school decision making, as well as undertaking activities that aim to improve relationships between staff and students and between students and students, so bringing people together to work together, helps to create an environment where young people have a voice, I suppose, and participate. And this has beneficial effects on young people's mental health, as shown in several large-scale studies across the world. And then finally, it's, I suppose, crucial to remember that there will be a smaller number of young people who've got difficulties in various aspects of their mental health who really are going to benefit for and require specialist input from additional services. So that might be school counsellors, it might be specialist child and adolescent mental health services, it might be involve signposting young people to go to their general practitioner who can refer where necessary. But some young people are going to be experiencing complex difficulties that really require sort of additional support and help from more specialised services.